Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello, my name is Almeen, and we're going to share with you today questions and answers that some of it has been coming from you, some of it is based on some of our past shows that a little bit deeper information is needed, and some of it has relevance to what has happened in the last days. So we never know what's going to come up. So Ruhir, thank you for being with us, and please tell me whatever you want us to pursue.
Today we should look at, I think, assuming you've got the book handy to you, but the 20 tribes and their symbols and the way this relates to the hands and the feet.
Yes. And the book he's speaking of, by the way, is Secrets of the Hidden Realms. The book there has a whole section on the realms of dreams. So, sorry, what exactly did you want me to do?
No, we're talking about the fingers and the toes.
Okay, and what is it you want me to give their dream symbols?
Yeah, but I'm just making sure that you wasn't sure when you say dreams if you're referring to dream symbols such as tables and bees and mice and things like that, or if you're actually referring to the fingers and the toes.
Okay, well, they're the same. Because any object, well, let's talk about symbols. So we're all on the same page. We've jumped in with both feet. Let's go in 1 foot at a time. My brothers and sisters, one of the primary functions of the left brain, if you will, is to ascertain that certain symbols and signs are in its environment, to notice things in its environment. So what we have is symbols, a language that speaks to us from the mirrors of our surroundings. If we don't like that language, we need to change it within. It's the projector that within. That is merely the movie screen. So if we don't like the movie that's playing in our life, the absolute place to tackle it is within. And it might take layer upon layer upon layer of changing it. The mirrors might change gradually, gradually, gradually. That is what the ascension process has been doing. Mother has been changing and changing within as she's awakened, as she's understood things. So any symbols that we get will be in two ways. Number one, in our environment. And it is what stands out in your environment, one way or the other. An example. If there is a lot of crows living in your vicinity, you know, you're bound to encounter them as you go out your door. This crow here, crow there, doesn't matter. But when there is a specific loud calling of a crow during a specific thought, it's signaling you, follow that thought. It is the place of power, because the way of power, the road of power, is what a crow or a raven stands for. Power by itself is, you know, one of the larger birds, but the way of power, the road to power, a road that's empowering is maybe a better way to say it. So, you know, it's what stands out in your environment. We spoke last week of this issue that when you go into higher realms, discomfort of the body should no longer occur. That's accurate. It shouldn't. It only will if you ignore and ignore and ignore and ignore all the signs in your environment that is effortlessly and painlessly supporting your growth. So it is an imperative route for some light worker who wants to achieve mastery, meaning silence of the mind, to learn to live with awareness to what is going on in their vicinity. The way of living in a way where, you know, we're really not present for ourselves in the body and so on, that's not the way of enlightenment. To be out of the body and the body is sitting there decaying in a, perhaps a yogic position or not. A lot of light workers live outside of their bodies. It's in the full awareness to the moment in the body that we prevent these unpleasantries from happening. So my brothers and sisters, if there is a crow that is behaving in an abnormal way or in a way that stands out on your horizon, he's trying to signal you that something has to do with the path of power. Now, let's say you don't notice him. There's a second backup system in place, and it's your dreams. The dreams will show you that which you didn't get. So get as much as you can each day, but also take time to get up half an hour earlier and to just take the time to sit down and look at what it is that you dreamt of in the night and have your symbols in front of you. We give them in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. I believe we also give them in the Ring of Truth. But the dream symbols that I've given you, you will add to because things will have meaning for you. Let's say that the language you use says that if you're embarrassed, you are red-faced. Let's say that's a term you regularly use. Oh, I was so red-faced about that, meaning I was embarrassed about that. In your dream, things are going to show as red faces when it says that you are going to be embarrassed if you don't change a certain aspect of your life. So it might mean that you look in the mirror and you have a red face, and there's surrounding circumstances that tells you what it is. So your own idioms of your language, your own experiences of your life, they're going to add to these. But the ones I've given you are the result of over a million years of Toltec oral tradition passed down and enhanced from Nagual to Nagual. And a Nagual is a Toltec seer. And their absolute dedication has been to study the dream realms. So, you know, this is what they brought up. It has worked extremely well. I live by it. So those are the signs in our environment that Ruhir is talking about. But the signs in our environment, whether we experience them directly or whether we dream about them or whether we see them as an image on a billboard that stands out as we go, the anatomy is going to speak a language to us as well. And on some of my other shows and also in the book, A Life of Miracles, we have given in detail the language of anatomy in terms of the liver, you know, the kidneys, the heart, the lungs, the fluids, the soft tissue, the ligaments, the bones, the left side, the right side, the skin versus this or that. We've given it in great detail, and it's in A Life of Miracles. But the anatomy is going to prompt you into change. It doesn't have to develop into disease if you are aware. It could be that you see a billboard with somebody holding a finger up. Let's say they hold the left hand's index finger up, and there's a little string tied around the finger. And it says something on the billboard like, remember, you know, don't forget to have fun with your wife or something, whatever it says. So that finger is the finger for innocence and play. A string around a finger is normally a silly way that people are indicating they're trying to remind themselves of something. Well, it's saying, don't forget to play. There's not enough fun in your life. Now, if you ignore that, okay, you know, eventually you'll end up with a slight little cut in that finger. And if you even ignore your slight little cuts, then it could get worse. But it's trying to prompt you as to areas that are out of balance in your life. Now, if we take a look at the anatomy just really, really quickly, you've got, for example, and we'll get to the fingers and toes, and Rogier rightfully asked about that, because that's, we've got that down to very much detailed language. But hair is social self-image. And, you know, your hands are your relationship, your head is your intuition, the idealism, thought, heart is the ability to give love, and hips is the way we want to move through life, and the way we move through life meets there, and so when that's variance, then we have hip problems. But you must trace the origin. The hip problems could be coming from a lower back that's subluxated, that's out of alignment. The lower back problems means that you feel unsupported. You know, mouth is the ability to receive sustenance. Your legs are your progress through life, for instance. All of this, my brothers and sisters, is in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. Stomachs are the acceptance of life's circumstances, whether you can stomach life. So you'll get little symbols on the exterior. If it doesn't work, you'll feel little twinges within. If it doesn't work, you'll dream about it. And if you still ignore it, well, then it starts to manifest in a little more pertinent. Rogier, is there anything so far that I need to explain better? Otherwise, I will move on to your question.
Well, I'm kind of wondering to what extent we should go into the dream symbols, because there's quite a lot of, well, standard symbols which would seem a good thing to elaborate upon a little, but I'm not sure if you want to go there.
Standard symbols meaning what?
Well, in dreams and in the day, which, like insects, for example, or certain birds, or
traffic lights. You mean sort of general categories, so people at least know what area they're looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah, good thinking. Well, my brothers and sisters, the insects will give you shortcomings. When there are insects in your face, flies, window means perception. If there is a fly that's constantly on the windshield of your car and you're trying to get him out the side windows, but no, he wants to go back and sit right in front of your face on the windshield where you're driving, that means that there is a shortcoming in your perception. You know, if there's a fly in your bath water is the cleansing process. That means there's a shortcoming in the way that you eliminate. Let's say you open the toilet lid and there's a big mosquito in there or something. It means that there is a shortcoming in that. You should also look at these insects' qualities. Mosquitoes are blood-sucking. You know, that is somebody taking your love and your generosity and not giving back. And so...
Spiders, for example.
Spiders are real special. Good point. Spiders will eat their own. And that is what is so unusual about spiders. Of course, not all of them do it. But when you think of a spider, you think of a black widow spider, and she's going to eat her mate after mating with him. And it means a shortcoming that where there's self-pillaging, self-destructiveness, undermining of yourself, by yourself. And that is what spiders stand for. Now, my brothers and sisters, that's different than spider webs. Sometimes you just suddenly see that there is this incredible spider web right in front of you, and it has tiny little drops of dew on it. It looks like a beautiful necklace. You suddenly are confronted with, you almost walk into it, you're taking a little stroll in the forest, and here it is. Well, that is the interconnectedness of life. So it means creating a network, or that be careful, what you're about, where you're about to step might break the interconnectedness of life, you know, which is sort of what has traditionally been creating karma. And I need to ask Mother, because I know in my heart of hearts that karma is now different. because of the exponential relay of information that we've spoken about on multiple of the previous shows. So I need to speak to her about that. What happens if we, you know, if we blindly break the spider web of life, so to speak, or damage the interconnected fields? Normally that would do that, but now what does it do? I don't know that. That is something I should ask her. I might even be able to get that in our party break. So let's take a quick little coffee break or a party break if you really quick and come back in a few minutes.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Al Mean has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
The other insects that we must actually put in a completely separate category are moths and butterflies, because moths and butterflies are gifts. And in fact, a ladybug, a little tiny ladybug, the little red bugs with the little black spots on them, they are also gifts, but ladybugs are perception gifts. And butterflies and moths are, in fact, spiritual gifts. And, you know, the moths represent a spiritual gift in that which is has been unknown for us. In other words, there's a gift of unknown coming in. And the butterfly is a gift of the known. Now, the difference between that is like this. Let's say that you've always wondered how there's a special way you can work with somebody in healing when it pertains to loss of soul force. How do you bring it back? Those are known things. You're just trying to put a new equation together. Healing plus loss of soul force equals, and then the gap, how do you do it? So my brothers and sisters, to do that, you suddenly receive all these insights. This is exactly how I'm supposed to do it. And when that happens, it's a butterfly. So a butterfly would signal you, hey, take time, sit still. There's a spiritual gift coming. But let's say that it is something you've never even thought about. It's totally a curveball that the cosmos throws you, but it's a good gift. It's totally unknown, you see, because moths will fly at night. Butterflies only fly in the sunlight. And that difference, and some butterflies and moths look almost the same. They look very much the same. There are butterflies that look just like moths, but there is a difference in three things. The butterfly needs the sunlight. The butterfly's wings pulse, so that sometimes he rests with his wings up. The moth doesn't do that, and there's a split in the wings that butterflies have that moths don't, or vice versa. I'm not quite sure now, but I guess it's one has a split in the wings and the other one doesn't. So the butterfly as a gift is the gift of known things that are a spiritual gift. So let me see. The birds pertain to thoughts.
Well, one more thing before we go there.
Sure.
Because when you look at these insects, I've been wondering, like, for example, the spider, I've been wondering how that relates or what role, if any, that plays in, like the names of orders and libraries, like, for example, the order, the upcoming order of the Red Spider. I mean, how much does that have to do with the metaphysical or, well, dreamtime meaning of these insects?
You know, Rahir, you're now touching on something that I have wondered myself. And, for example, we spoke on two shows ago, I believe it was, about the octopus libraries off the coast of Australia and how, you know, the being the octopus is the guardian. I think his name was Buluga, and he was the octopus guardian in front of the gate, and he would envelop you with this white veil of his arms when you try and enter there, and you have to be pure of heart for you to survive that sort of a testing, if you will. The octopus libraries produce the sacred fire. I mean, you wonder if they are volcanic libraries or if it just is unrelated as to their initial secrets. And perhaps what we're dealing with is the following, because I'm quite sure that somewhere there's a connection to this. Recent libraries that the oracles are just now going into are off the coast of Ireland underwater. They're the libraries of the singing stones. Then we've had libraries that are bird-related. We've had insect libraries. We've had spider libraries, because we have the libraries of the crickets. And we've got mice libraries, birds, plants, flowers, the wonderful purple flower libraries up in the North Pole area, just north of Fairbanks, Alaska. You know, so we've got all these kingdoms represented. And so where does the connection come in? I think where we're going to see this connection, but this is not gospel by any means, it's just an opinion. Every single one of those libraries have magic to give us. The only magic so far that we have accessed out of the 129 sacred libraries is, in fact, the magic of Isis. We've just done the tiniest little scratching of the surface. And that is that incantations in mother's language were given. And there were specific circles given. And it is through the Isis libraries that the Jongala Brook brought their clock to synchronize with the frequencies of the day and also to synchronize time with the higher realms. So this is all magical devices. Then we have a lot of magic that we got from the Order of the White Dove, as you know, because you assisted to bring that through. And then we've got a third section that we've got a lot of magic on, and it was the third petal, because as we've said, these libraries lie around in circles like petals of a rose, and in the middle these are the three petals, and it's the Kundalini magic, which is the serpent, the Order of the Serpent. We've got multiple spells and so on from that. We have a mere smattering of the Keepers of the White Horse libraries, the Nga, in that they gave us symbols, but we've received symbols and so on for various things from the libraries. But we've really only tapped into the magic of those three. And those three, the dove has is in sections. The beak is actually a Sothic triangle, and that's a triangle with elongated sides that's used in a lot of mysticism because it holds the secret of emotions that are needed, how vitally important it's needed in metamorphosing into a god being. So the beak of the dove is a Sothic triangle, and this dove is all the parts of it, but a lot of it pertains to thought. A lot of the Isis magic pertains to heart. And then a lot of the serpent magic pertains to Kundalini rising. And so to have that, you know, you can see that they match the symbol for the library. Like if you come to, say, the library of the talking stones, I believe that what we're going to be looking at is, in fact, magic that can be done with crystals. Because it pertains to the stones. The oracle that's just gone in there, which is the oracle for the white dove, I haven't gotten to it yet because Mother is still having me translate pieces from other libraries. She's ahead of me. But she's just gone in there, and there are gold walls made from gold bricks. Some of those bricks protrude. And on those protruding bricks, there are beautifully colored crystals, and they're in rough hewn shape. They're not like carved or anything. If you look at them, then you will find that they're living. There's something in them that's moving, and they sing. They make tones, and this is the library of the singing stones. So I think it's the magic that's coming out of them, judging by those first three libraries, that we're going to find that corresponds to the symbol. The red spire libraries. What, dear?
Well, that's what I was just asking about. So what exactly would be sort of some sort of concrete impression of having magic from insect libraries when insect represents shortcomings?
Well, let's take the red spider libraries in Scheveningen. By the way, you're Dutch. I'm not. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Scheveningen.
Gracht of niet?
Yeah.
That means faint praise I'm getting. So anyway, if the spider's tendency is either to do the self-destructiveness, or it is to spin the web. Let's not forget that the spider spins the web. Now, there are two sets of libraries that pertain to the spider. I believe the one is in Oregon. Let me just take a look really quickly as I speak. I believe we have a spider library in Oregon. I'm not quite sure. All right. But anyway, the spider could have one of those qualities. It could be that any limitation that you see, that there is magic to remove it. That would be the sublimation of self-destructiveness. It would be self-destructiveness of your own limitation. That would be an example. For example, you want to walk in the rain. You don't want to be cold. You don't have to be cold. That's a limitation. Because it's part of a belief system. You can just imagine the rain falling right through you. You can dance with the rain. You can become one with the rain inside. And then you don't oppose it, and then you don't feel it's cold. So how is it, that you do that? You have to remove that belief system. This could have that kind of magic. On the other hand, it could be dealing with the web, with the spinning of the web. It could be dealing with, let's say, you need the agility of the springbok in South Africa, which can jump right over a moving car. Let's say you need the agility of the springbok. It is already in you if you become the web of life. So it could pertain to magic that draws on qualities of aspects of life like the springbok. The invisibility of a snake in the grass. So it could be either of that.
Yeah, I always kind of, because I was kind of attracted to the spider symbolism always, but figured it would have to do something with the 13th, with the portal that you speak of in Secrets of the Hidden Realms.
Yes, because the spider sits in the middle where the transfiguration happens.
Yeah.
It could even have to do with that. You're quite right.
But another thing was, which I guess is also kind of ambiguous, because I wondered in the case of the dove as well about, I remember you, one of the first stories you told in Dublin, or one of the first characteristics you meant of mention of the dove. You said something about when it starts fighting, it doesn't know how to stop or something. Sorry.
That's not what it stands for.
However,
you are onto something. It stands for purity of thought, but you're onto something here that I will need to take up with Mother afterwards. And that is that benign beings across the cosmos do not have built-in braking systems. And, you know, at times there are no boundaries to guide their impulses. I need to just make sure that that's not something that needs to be dealt with. I will ask Mother.
All right.
We also have the Library of the Ants. And interestingly enough, from the Library of the Ants comes the gift, and it's right here where my home is, right underneath my house. I have had for some time the ability to speak languages. In my classes, I ask my students to speak a few words, and if they speak a few words, even one word, then I recognize the word, then I can help them get their languages that they carry. So, you know, the gift of languages I've had to have, because everywhere I've gone to speak to beings, angels don't speak English. One or two might, but they don't normally speak English. They speak angelic languages. They hear you telepathically and empathically, and it translates it into their language in their head. But Mother has had me have the gift of those languages because I've had to write in them, translate them, and so on. So the ant libraries have a magical device in it that gives the gift of languages. And so the ants, let's take a look at their characteristics. Ants stand for group mind. Group mind, it's in the mind where language forms. The group mind, if I want someone else's language, I have to tap into the group mind. So it is a way to gain knowledge, to gain insights, to gain perception. And I'm quite sure that that is what the magic will deal with, because somehow the ant's language, it's communicated long distance, exponentially. One is in danger. They all start running around, even though they don't know what the problem is. There's this group mind. And that's what ants stand for. And so, you know, that's where you get your holy languages, your holy glyphs. That's how you can translate the libraries and so forth. It's the 129th library. Because by the time you've mastered the magic of the other libraries, that's available to you. And then you have all the knowledge because you can go into the libraries.
All right. Well, sure.
Can you do me a favor? Let's take a quick break so we'll stay on schedule. We'll be right back after these commercials.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm, understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So I haven't actually yet answered your question about the body parts as dream symbols as pertains to, for example, the toes. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on, or shall I just go right into that?
No, I figured we should just go right into that.
All right. Let's start with our left big toe, and we'll go all the way to the pinky toe. So the big toe is the tribe, and by the way, my brothers and sisters, just so you know, the fingers and toes match the 20 tribes that the Mayan calendar has. They match the frequency gradations of the band of compassion in which we have resided. So the eagle is for the big toe on the left foot, and it is for vision, perspective. And what that is about is the big picture. See, when I'm doing the work for Mother, a lot of parts of my body are signaling me. A, when she wants to speak to me, like let's say I'm in the middle of a lecture with somebody or on a telephone conversation, on a radio show, who knows, and suddenly she wants to speak to me. If it's a place where I can immediately deal with it like we've been doing on our shows, I do it. But if I'm in the middle of having a conversation with my accountant or my tax lawyer or whomever, that's not the place I can suddenly start to speak Mother's language. So there's a way that she will signal me, and she uses body language. The big toe is my signal that I am looking at too small a perspective. For instance, let's say I see, oh gosh, something is not right here. I will ask Mother. I ask Mother, I get the exact answer, no, that's not right there. But then my big toe on the top of it will start to tingle, and it's telling me you need an eagle's perspective. A whole different perspective is needed. So when you're looking at something too small, or you're looking too large, which means that you're not looking at the actual cause, at the projector, you're looking at the screen, that is the toe that will signal you. And also, you know, if it's time to change the big vision of your life, a lot of people start at the base of the pyramid. They deal with teachers that are the known. Teachers, they deal with the known. They're perhaps vastly, you know, into the bliss, they're deeply into inactivity, or they deal with information that's the known. Both of those groups fall into the base of the pyramid. Or it might be time then to get a new vision. So you move to the middle of the pyramid and you get a teacher that deals with the unknown. And they work with spirits and they work with angels and they're getting information from them and so on. And, you know, it's time for that perspective. Then, once again, you may be signaled by something to do with that toe, whether in an image in the dreams or whatever, that it's time for you to change your perspective. Then you move up to the capstone. And the capstone deals with the unknowable. And that is where you start to become somebody that promotes the growth of the whole cosmos. So, And incidentally, when you're in the middle of the pyramid, you are assisting to break down limiting walls for humanity. When you're in the bottom of the pyramid, you are helping to create order out of known facts. So all of those things contribute, but it might be time to create, because eagle's about creating, a new vision, a new template. Now, the second toe from the big toe in is the warrior. Warrior signals three things: questions, fearlessness, intelligence. Let's look at what is meant by that. You can never come up with the right answer if you do not ask the right question. It was three shows ago that we discussed the issue of astrology. The issue isn't what planet is in conjunction with what planet. The question is wrong. The question is, either are the planets still where they should be? And if they are, or they aren't, is astrology still a good way of ascertaining divination, if you will? And I said that it is, but there's something beyond it. But you have to ask the right question. Fearlessness and questions go very much together. Because fearlessness is not scared to be wrong. It takes the greatest courage to totally make yourself wrong, moment by moment by moment, my brothers and sisters, and to say the highest truth that you see, even if it makes not a lick of sense to you. Till Mother called me in front of her throne, for years I prayed to Father. Then I started to work with Mother, and I realized that Mother created Father, which made sense, because in Journey to the Heart of God, I uncovered this horizontal axis of existence that gave birth to the vertical masculine axis, which is the tree of life representing God's unfolding of creation. Something gave birth to that vertical axis. The Mother gave birth to the Father. I understood that. So the point, though, is that for the longest time, I could not find anywhere a God of impeccability. And I had to say that. You can imagine how unpopular that made me. But I had to give my biggest truth, and that took so much courage. It was only in August of 2007 that we encountered the true God of truth, who had been waiting and holding the space for creation in the higher realms. But it takes fearlessness to allow questions to come up that will shake and shatter the very foundations of everything you believe in. Now let's take a look at intelligence. Intelligence chooses between two things. It determines one thing versus another. There's only one choice in the entire cosmos. What is life enhancing and what is not? And from that you can go to what is more life enhancing, what is not, but really it boils down to one question. That is what this is about, because the warrior fiercely asks, what is life enhancing, what is not? Even if it means withdrawing for a time from a child so they can learn to stand on their own two feet, or they can learn a lesson. It might be so contrary to what you want to do. But it is asking the right question, not what I want to do. So that is what warrior means. Then we go to Earth. Third toe from the big toe. Synchronicity evolves. Navigation. The synchronicities of life are pulled in the following way. The firm conviction in which you hold the big picture. Now, my brothers and sisters, the big picture is, I want this day to work out to produce for me, support. This day, I pull in support. You hold that vision the entire day long. And you evolve the vision through the day. And let me explain, and this is the navigation. It steers things into the direction of the big picture. Now, the big picture might entirely change tomorrow as you realize that your being is your sustenance and you're your own support. The big picture might change, so you hold on lightly to those big pictures. But while you hold them firmly. And then you navigate and evolve life within the pattern or the vision that you hold. And to explain that as follows. Your vision is, I choose to draw in support. Your vision is that you need to speak to so-and-so, you get there. Now you start to get the synchronicity. Somebody comes into your way because you're holding that vision, which is your faith. Somebody comes in your way and says, you know, Almin, I can help you with something like this and this and this. So you know, because of that, that there, this is a synchronicity. So you knock on the door. It might be something entirely different that the person is bringing you than what they think they're bringing you, or you think they're bringing you. But the synchronicity is evolving the implementation of the big picture that you hold. You just have to navigate by feeling with your heart. Wait a minute. I let go of my expectations of that this person is going to offer to type this for me. Instead, this person says, you know what? I only have $100. I believe what you do. Here's $100. Then you get, you know what? My expectation was entirely wrong. It wasn't what I had in mind. Allow life to evolve with the synchronicities. Navigate through the heart. This is what Earth is about. Let's take a quick break and then we'll finish up.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almin's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almin's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So we are looking at the messages that images of toes, injuries to toes, tingling in the toes, what it is trying to tell us. If we pay attention to the tingling, it won't become an injury. But the fourth toe, the one right next to the pinky toe on the left foot, is mirror. And mirror reflects, and it's endlessness. My brothers and sisters, there's a deep mystical secret behind this that I haven't actually previously solved, so I don't know if it's going to come out of my mouth or not. But the point is that you and the mirrors in your environment have an endless relationship. The way it is when a person stands between two mirrors, and before him and behind him, endlessly, 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 the images recede. That's why mirror and reflections have to do with endlessness. Let's apply this principle to life. Something in your environment reflects to you that such and such needs to change. You change it within. Now, it's changing all the mirrors behind you. When we are in a place of timelessness, which we are also in a place where the moment is not just determining the future, but it is also determining the past. This is such an important mystical principle, because as we change, learning from the mirrors in front of us, the mirrors of our environment behind us changes. Let's say that we caused someone grief. They had a heartache, or we made a mistake raising our children. We don't quite, come with the perfect parent handbook right off the bat. So we made some mistakes rearing our children. As we change ourselves this minute, based on the mirrors in front of us, not only do those mirrors change in front of us, but the mirrors behind us changes. So learning from the mirrors of life affects the endlessness of creation. Very important. And it's brand new to me. I have never before realized this. But of course it has to be that way, because all moments are really now and not linearly anymore. The pinky on the left foot reflects storm, catalyzes energy, self-generation. Now, how does catalyzes, energy, and self-generation fit into one concept? That's why these frequencies that don't spell it out, we've got to find it. It goes like this. If we look at the building blocks of life the way they were, because it's only then that we can really understand the way they are now that they formed a unit. But it's easier to understand them from past when they were separate. There was a specific building block that dealt with energy, and it generated energy, and it was the one of life force. Life force is self-generating unless you leak it out. In other words, this is an incredible concept, because we were born with everything we need for immortality and eternal life. Sufficient life force to be self-generating to be forever. The life force we are born with is enough to regenerate the cells constantly. But in resisting life, we actually leak that life force out. Life force has as its gift energy. And how that happens is by the catalyzing. My brothers and sisters, the catalyzing this is speaking of is none other than the word I have been using a lot in many of the shows. It is the pulsation of proactivity and receptivity. Catalyzes. The deeper you go into activity, the more it catalyzes and creates depth to your receptivity. The depth of your receptivity is the catalyst to push your activity further than it's ever gone before. This movement between proactive and receptive in your life is a self-generating energy device that will provide you all the energy you need forever after. There is no need to die, there's no need to grow old, this can loosen you, etc. All your cells are renewing constantly. You know, there's just a few cells at the base of the spine that aren't. And so why does it have to renew into a wrinkle if it can renew into smooth skin? You know, we've come to the end of our show, and I wish I could have done both feet for you, but we'll have to tackle it on another show. Thank you for sharing this time with us. My love to you always.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. please join us again next week.